This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The 2024 election, the last hours, and the business at hand is what we spent 2023 talking about, the court cases and former President Donald Trump. My colleague and co-host Thaddeus McCotter is here, and we're joined very happily by Andrew McCarthy of the National View Online, who has written at great length and articulately about these tangled court cases from Manhattan to Atlanta, from D.C. to Florida, covering the map, and all with different resolutions so far. One thing I do know on the campaign trail is that it has been important to the Democratic ticket to say convicted Donald Trump, convicted felon Donald Trump, felony Donald Trump. That is a confusion that I need to explore. Andy, a very good evening to you. The Smith cases are the ones that come to mind immediately because they're federal prosecutions, one in Miami and one in D.C. What I saw recently in your writing, and I wasn't able to talk to you about it, is that Mr. Smith filed a book-length writ about Mr. Trump, and yet still no trial. What is the status of that case, the one about January 6th? Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. The status of the case is that it's in suspended animation is probably the wrong term for it, but it will not be tried. If it is ever tried, it will not be tried for many months, maybe more than a year, because it still has an active immunity issue. And the fact that the Supreme Court, in its immunity ruling on July 1st, sent the case back to Judge Chutkan with instructions that she should parse through the allegations and Jack Smith's proposals for how he would prove the allegations. Those instructions were used by Smith and Judge Chutkan as a pretext to allow Smith to file the book-length presentation that you just alluded to, John, which describes his case and the testimony of the various witnesses to prove it. Trump tried to get that kept under wraps until after the trial was over. There really is no reason for it to be publicized. And if what Smith is saying about Trump for months, that he's a threat to democracy and, to mom and apple pie and everything else, you would think that he wouldn't want his witnesses identified and all that information out in the public domain. In a normal case, Judge Chutkan would not want a presentation of the prosecution's case under circumstances that don't have the protections of the due process protections of a trial. She'd be concerned about the jury pool. But the obvious reason to put this out is to try to affect the outcome of the election, since they can't get the trial that they were hoping for. The big hope was that you could try Trump, get him convicted in the District of Columbia, and that the public would be riveted to the trial because there would be high-profile testimony given by former Trump administration officials. They obviously didn't get that. They're not getting the bang out of this for lawfare purposes that they were hoping they'd get. So the book-length filing is supposed to be the next best thing. But I think it's a pale imitation, because without the convictions and without the high profile trial, I just don't think the public is that interested in a story that it's heard again and again and again since the 2020 election.
That is, you have a question.
Well, Andy, speaking of lawfare and partisan prosecutions, what's Mr. Bragg up to in Manhattan these days?
He's on ice as well. I wrote a little earlier today that he's busy at the moment trying Daniel Penny, who is the Marine who intervened on the New York subways when a career criminal was intimidating people on the train, and the altercation resulted in the asphyxiation death of the person he was who was creating the intimidation. He decided, Bragg did, to indict Mr. Penny. So that's what he's mainly up to now. But as far as the Trump case is concerned, Thaddeus, that too is on ice because it's got a significant immunity issue in it, which I think Bragg and his lawyers and the judge in the case gratuitously allowed into the case. It was not necessary to their evidence. But as a result of it, Trump made a motion to dismiss the guilty verdicts, and that's pending and won't be decided until after the election.
My memory, Andy, is the term convicted felon would apply in that case only after sentencing. That's my dim memory, but I'm confused. What is the particulars of the language here, convicted felon?
Yeah, technically, John, after a jury finds somebody guilty, usually there's about a three-month stretch of time between the guilty verdict and the imposition of sentence, because the court and its probation department has to do an investigation prior to sentencing, because sentencing is not just about the crimes that were proved in the trial. It's also about the defendant's background and his likelihood of recidivism, etc. So usually there's this three-month period. And during the same period, if there were difficulties or questionable rulings in the trial or any reason to doubt the jury's verdict, the defendant is also allowed to move to get the case thrown out or to move to get the guilty verdict thrown out. So technically in the law, a conviction is not final. That is, a guilty verdict does not become a conviction on the public record until the judge imposes sentence. And Trump is not sentenced yet and won't be sentenced until sometime down the road after Judge Merchan, who is the presiding judge in the case, decides the motion that Trump has made to undo the case because of the immunity situation. So we're a ways away from getting a decision on that.
Does this mean that former President Trump is neither a convicted nor a felon until that sentence is passed?
Yeah, as far as the public record is concerned and all the technicalities that pertain to that, including the rights that you lose as an individual once you've been convicted, that does not kick in until a conviction is final, which is when the court puts it on the public record. As far as political rhetoric is concerned, Democrats and others who oppose Trump continue to refer to him as a convicted felon. What they're obviously referring to is the jury verdict. That's a rhetorical point, but it's not legally correct.
That is?
Well, now that they're not content with locking him up physically, they're still going after all his property. What is Attorney General Letitia James doing in New York now?
I think she's probably fretting, Thaddeus, because the oral argument of the civil fraud trial and the nearly $500 million verdict, where the interest continues to compound, that did not go well for the state. The judges seem very skeptical about the use of a consumer protection law, which is what Tish James, the attorney general, invoked in the case. To have it applied in a situation that's not a consumer protection situation, but rather a situation where you have arm's length transactions between Trump and financial institutions, the courts seem very perturbed by that. And they also seem perturbed by the interesting math and testimony by which James took a case where there were actually no fraud victims and convinced the appointed Democratic or the elected Democratic judge in the case, Arthur Engoron, to basically fine Trump nearly $500 million.
Is that the one that's $100,000 a day until he pays? Is that the same case?
Yeah, well, it was $100,000 until he paid. I think, John, the original disgorgement penalty, if I'm remembering right, was somewhere in the neighborhood of about $370 million. But the thing is, it pounds every day. Uh-huh. So it was 100,000 a day at that time. It's obviously much more as time goes on. But I think the likelihood is that on appeal, I don't know if the case will get thrown out, but I think the financial penalty will be significantly reduced.
There is one federal case, though, that is a mystery to me. That's the one in Florida, Judge Cannon, I believe, because the decision, as I recall, it gets a little fuzzy after several wars, Andy, forgive me.
Yes, right.
Is that the prosecutor, special counsel, Jack Smith, was not correctly appointed, and therefore the attorney general had to set the record straight. And that trial was delayed, if ever, to come to fruition. At the same time, that was the same special counsel who produced that book-length allegations against Mr. Trump. And I'm presuming if he's not correctly appointed for Florida, he's not correctly appointed for Washington as well. Has that been resolved by the Department of Justice?
It has not. They're appealing the throwing out of the indictment by Judge Cannon in Florida. The thing is, John, that under the Constitution's Appointments Clause, if you wield the kind of power Jack Smith wields, there's only two ways of being properly appointed. One is if you're nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate, and the other is that you occupy a position that's been created by Congress, and then you follow whatever procedure Congress has prescribed in the statute for your appointment. Smith was neither of those. He was appointed by Justice Department regulations that were put in place by the Janet Reno, Bill Clinton Justice Department back in the late 90s. So he's not appointed by statute. He's not nominated by the president or approved by the Senate. And that's the problem he has. The reason the two outcomes are different, in Florida, Judge Cannon was not beholden to the precedents of the D.C. Circuit Court. She's in a different circuit. She's in the 11th Circuit, which hasn't ruled on this issue. So she was not required to follow D.C. Circuit law. In the Washington case, where, as you point out, Jack Smith is the same prosecutor we just talked about who filed this book-length submission, they are beholden to D.C. Circuit law. And even though I think the precedents there are incorrect, they have in the past upheld the appointment of special counsels under these under the same conditions that that Smith was appointed under, in particular the Watergate special counsel and ultimately Robert Mueller during the Russiagate investigation.
As I recall, you said there was an easy patch to this, that the Attorney
yes.
General could simply make Mr. Smith subordinate to a sitting U.S. attorney, and that would resolve the whole conflict. Do I remember correctly?
Absolutely. They could be up and running with the case in 5 minutes. But I think they don't want to confess error, and they certainly don't want to endorse anything Judge Cannon has done, so they prefer to appeal. I think it's bullheaded because an appeal is not going to be decided until sometime next year. And if Trump wins the election, obviously he will direct that the two cases against him be dismissed.
That is, you have a question about these four or five court cases.
Well, Andy, what will the mind of the Department of Justice change should Donald Trump be elected regarding the appointment of such people as Jack Smith?
Well, Smith will certainly be out instantly, I would think. If what Donald Trump has said in the last 2 weeks is to be believed, he is now taking the position that lawfare is one of the worst things that's ever happened to the country. And while earlier in the campaign he talked about being a retribution president, he's now saying that this kind of thing can't happen because it's corruptive of the Justice Department, and he wants to do away with lawfare. So we'll have to see, if he wins, how he approaches it.
We're speaking with Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online of several cases that are either pending or ephemeral, wafting away in the wind. However, there is a matter right now in Washington, and we're going there next, having to do with an investigation of intelligence leak out of the Pentagon, I'm told, also across the river in Virginia. And he's written up a puzzling case about people who are not American citizens and the Department of Justice insisting that Virginia is discriminating against them because it won't let them vote. It's very puzzling. To Andrew McCarthy, Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and friend, co-host of American Greatness.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.